And it has become a really vital part of my life. I start each day with AFR. I love the combination of prayer and teaching. I was missing out on the teaching previously. I did go to church, but I wasn't really learning anything, and I just didn't realize how much I was missing. I love everybody on AFR. You're such a blessing to me, and I just thank you from the bottom of my heart.
It's day two of Share-a-thon, and it's Founders Day on American Family Radio. We're honoring Brother Don Wildman and his wife, Linda, for their faithful obedience to the Lord and their example to us.
God doesn't require us to be successful. God requires us to be faithful.
Call now at 877-616-2396 to give or pledge online at AFR.net. It's Founders Day on American Family Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the second hour of Share-a-thon here on American Family Radio. For today's issues, the second hour of Share-a-thon, I should say. In other words, what I'm saying, people, is you're stuck with us for the next 54 minutes, and you don't have a choice in the matter.
Well, they do have a choice. We hope they won't take it. We
hope don't turn the radio off. Don't turn the radio off, please. We'll do our best here. Tim Wildman with Evan Tagliano, Walker Wildman, and now Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning. Hey, I got to tell you how impressed I am with the weather service around here. I just got an alert on my phone that a brief rain shower is scheduled to begin around 11:03.
11:03?
That's what it says, 11:03.
They can predict those things here.
It's like I'm in Back to the Future too.
Yeah, a brief rainstorm. That's worthy of an alert.
Well, it is on my phone, apparently. I don't have a whole lot else
going
on.
You can get as detailed alerts as you want from the weather service.
Yes.
Mine comes from the Weather Channel.
That's pretty detailed.
I shut my notifications off for that very reason,
because
they were sending me those kind of updates. And now I'll only turn it back on if we're supposed to have bad storms.
Okay.
So I can get a tornado.
Here's my latest from
my weekly tornado warning.
Your weekly.
Here in the South.
Here in the South. Here's my my latest weather alert was at 8:07 this morning. It said it's day.
There you go. That is
at 8:07.
I need to know.
They said it's daytime.
Sunrise was that late at your house?
Daytime alert.
No, he just. That's what he. Hey, by the way,
I think we're missing each other, Ed. I was trying to make a joke there. And you were going all literal.
I was going all literal on you.
I understand that there's a challenge going on right now.
Yes.
FA, so I have brought buckets of ice for all of us. We can dump on our heads.
He's the wrong kind of challenge.
Is it?
What was that? You know, I am so far out of the loop in terms of what's going on.
It's not going on.
Outside of real news.
That was years ago. It was just.
But the challenge was that people just poured a bucket of ice on their head?
Yeah, and they had to give money.
There was a cause associated. Now it's TikTok. You know what TikTok is, Ed?
But there's a challenge connected with it?
It's another joke. Another joke.
I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to stop.
Ed knows what TikTok is, and I know what toll-free is.
Yes.
TikToks are usually right beside Wrigley's gum. am I right? Or have I got the wrong TikTok?
I was going to make a comment, but then I would be going all literal again.
Okay. All right, Ed, set up our Share-a-thon hour.
It is Share-a-thon. It is our spring Share-a-thon. The theme is confident hope. We want to encourage you in the Lord. We want to encourage you in Jesus Christ. Please get in the Word. You will find the answers to many, if not all, of life's issues and problems there. But absolutely, Jesus Christ is the source of the hope that you need today. That is our message. American Family Radio, we are in our spring Share-a-thon. It is day two, and we are encouraging you to give as generously as you can. And here is the number to call if you would like to pledge your support, 877-616-2396. That number again is 877-616-2396.
Now, we have open phones right now. We have people. Didn't often I look back there and see people just sitting around chatting, and there are some people doing that.
And folks, let me just tell you something. We're feeding these folks. many of whom are volunteers,
right.
And we're tired of it because some of them aren't doing anything.
No.
So get them busy. Wow. Get them busy.
And we love our volunteers. Right?
We do love our volunteers. We have a lot of fun with them, and we're joyful to be able to have them in the building. Last year we couldn't do it during the spring. And now Steve mentioned the challenge. Walker, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what the challenge is, what that means, and then give the phone number.
And I'll do subliminal attempts to get people to call while you're doing that, Walker.
Okay.
Until 12 p.m. Central on American now. Family Radio, we have a $50,000 challenge.
Call now.
So all gifts given between now and 12 p.m. Central will be matched up to $50,000.
Call now. Are you done?
And I'm going to pass it on to our correspondent, Tim, over here to finish it up.
Call now.
I'd like to say that
did we give the number?
I'm not trying to manipulate.
I'll give it again. Here's the number, 877-616.
What's your problem? Call now.
2396. 877.
Feel guilty.
616.
Why would you call?
2396.
Sell your house.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Or if you don't want to talk to a person, and after what we've just been putting you through, I can see why.
Change your will.
You can go online at afr.net.
I just want to also say, regarding this challenge, it would be impolite for one person to call and give $50,000 and deprive everybody else of the joy of participating in this. So please, no gifts over $40,000.
Yes,
if you want to call with $40,000, you're good.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. Here's the phone number again. In all seriousness, we need your help, folks, because it takes money to operate American Family Radio. And we want to grow and expand. We don't want to stop here. We want to keep reaching new people across the country so we can introduce them to the Lord and the Bible and what they can do to make our country a better place. New people. That's what we need. We need new troops.
Yes,
so
I like that.
Here's the phone number, 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396, or go online at afr.net, afr.net. And the theme of the Share-a-thon is Confident Hope, the Confident Hope Share-a-thon. Please read that verse of Scripture, Ed. Do you have it there in front of you?
Yes, this is from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Here's what that verse says. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that's from the New American Standard Bible. We've been reading different versions. You can read it in whatever version you use, but that is Romans 15, 13.
I wanted to, I heard you guys last hour talking about the Project Veritas expose of CNN and talking about the media and its bias. I have another example I want to share with you guys about the bias in the media. And this one comes out of the tragedy at Brooklyn Center in Minnesota. Minnesota, the tragic shooting of Dante White. Did I say that right? White, W-H-I-T-E is his name, right?
No.
Right.
Right.
W-R-I-T-E. It has a W, but it's right.
Okay, sorry. I was wrong. It's right.
Yes.
Okay. Move on, Steve.
All right. Moving along. There have been a couple press conferences that have been given by various authorities in Brooklyn Center. I'm going to play you a cut, and this is from two different press conferences. One, the first one you're going to hear is Police Chief Tim Gannon, and he is talking about his experience at the protests.
As he said,
overnight, and he called them riots, but that didn't set well with the media, which was pushing back.
Just real quickly, this is from a couple of days ago.
These are both from a couple of days ago. These are old. I'm not playing them to tell breaking news, but to show you where the media's head is about these things. The second one you're going to hear is from now former city manager Kurt Bogany. And this is before we knew the name of the officer that did the shooting. And one of the, I think it was a reporter, I can't vouch for the second one, if it was a reporter or an activist that got into the press conference, but was demanding that he release the name of that police officer. So listen, and if you want to know what angle, where the heads of the media are, listen to cut two.
I was front and center at the protest, at the riot. We did not.
There was no riot.
The officers that were putting themselves in harm's way were being pelted with frozen cans of pop, They're being belted with concrete blocks.
Can you instruct the chief to release her name?
I won't do that at this moment, at this place.
Why?
It would be inappropriate.
That's not inappropriate. What was inappropriate was killing Dante Wright under those circumstances. So you are working harder to protect a killer cop than a victim of police murder.
Now, do we know who those people were? Were they reporters, or were they just community activists or Antifa? Or
the
who
first
were they?
One was were at least I'm confident that those were reporters. There were several of them that chimed in saying, no, don't go there. That wasn't a riot. We don't want to call it a riot. The second one sounds more like an activist that got in, but it is kind of emblematic of where the mindset is of our mainstream media these days.
Yeah, and they want a particular narrative being presented by city officials because that's the narrative they want to put forth in their news stories.
Yes, indeed. By the way, I think, I don't know, did you guys talk about Mr. Bogany, the reason that he was let go?
No, we did not.
So this is the former city manager. There are a couple people in this particular tragedy that have been trying to kind of keep a level head and saying that before we jump to conclusions, before we start looting and rioting and everything, we might want to let the facts come in. And the city manager, Kurt Bogany, who is now the former city manager, is one of those. And I want you to play something that he said during one of his press conferences. This got him fired almost immediately. Listen to cut three.
And in response to the question about termination, all employees working for the City of Brooklyn Center are entitled to due process with respect to discipline. This employee will receive due process. Due process discipline will be determined. If I were to say anything else, I would actually be contradicting the idea of due process.
You're fired. I did my best Donald Trump there.
Was within hours.
Yes.
That gentleman we just heard was a long-time city manager in this town. What's the name of the town?
Brooklyn Center.
Brooklyn
okay.
Center.
So, he's an African-American fellow. His boss is the African-American mayor. His boss seems to me like at least 10 years younger than him, who we heard from a few minutes. We've heard
the
from
last
him.
Hour.
Last yes. hour. The mayor is over the city manager. The mayor's in an elected position. The city manager is in a hired position, as I understand. So the mayor heard this gentleman say that all employees deserve due process. For that, the mayor fired him. Fired him that day, as Walker said, a few hours later. Basically saying, the officer is not due. Due process. And for you to say something like that is unacceptable to me as mayor. And so,
because it sounds like
fired the man.
Sounds like the mayor's already made up his mind.
Yes.
As to whether or not the officer now identified as Kimberly Potter.
Right. The guy never said she won't be disciplined.
Right.
She could be charged with something. She could be fired. Whatever the case may be. But we're not going to do it right here and now, the guy was saying.
Right.
So, you're listening to Today's Issues, Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. Let's hear one of our listeners share with us, and then we shall return with more.
Hi, this is Alex Brink from Minnesota. We had a house fire on May 4th, and our whole family made it out okay. But our entire house is getting completely remodeled from the basement up. And we live in a camper all summer long. And there's two things that never change from the beginning until the end. One is God's sovereign grace and the words that he gave us in the Bible. And two is the inspiration coming from AFR. We played AFR in the house every day when we do homeschool. And we play AFR in the camper to get our day started. And thank you to all you people on AFR that put out awesome inspiration, whether you're going through a house fire or no matter what you're going through in life. You guys are inspiring.
You know,
wow!
I'm not a big camping guy, but summertime in Minnesota, being away from everybody camping, that sounds pretty. But they had their house burned, is what he said.
Yes,
right?
they were living in a camper.
Yeah, I shouldn't. Anyway, I didn't mean to make light of that in any way. I'm just saying that sounded
a weekend camping with your family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
6 months in a camper with your family while your house is being remodeled.
No, that's torture. Let's be honest about it, huh?
That's right.
But on the bright side, he was able to listen to American Family Radio.
And that's what he was saying. Mm-hmm. He was calling to say thank you for American Family Radio. We counted on you while we were going through this difficult time in your family's life.
I want to read some people. If you're like a new listener, you may wonder. So, what is American Family Radio? Who is American Family Association? You heard that mentioned, which is the parent ministry of AFR, of American Family Radio. I just want to read AFA, the parent ministry of American Family Radio. I want to read AFA's mission statement, which really describes who we are, what we're here for. The mission of American Family Association is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to transform American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad in its calling to fulfill the Great Commission. So when you support American Family Radio, when you go to our website, afr.net, and donate for this share-a-thon, you are supporting the mission of American Family Association.
Right. Good. And the number to call if you do want to give is 877-616-2396. This is our spring share-a-thon. We just have the rest of today and then tomorrow, and that's it until the fall. The number to call is 877-616-2396. And let me just mention, because we haven't mentioned it yet this hour, for a one-time gift of $150 or more, you will receive the Hilarious Highlights Volume 7 CD for Trivia Friday, one of our most popular programs. It's a lot of fun, and what we do is J.J. Jasper, who is one of the co-hosts of that show, he goes through an entire year and picks out some of the funniest sequences. So that's for a one-time gift of $150 or more. If you give a monthly gift of $30 or more, you will receive not only the Trivia Friday Hilarious Highlights Volume 7 CD, but you will also get the American Family a gift bag of American Family coffee. Its name is Trust, but it is a blueberry cobbler flavor. That is for a monthly gift of $30 or more. And we do want to make mention of the fact that for the next 40 minutes or so, up until noon Central Time, we are in the midst of a $50,000 challenge. And that means for every gift up to $50,000, that amount will be doubled. The $50,000, that is. Did I say that right? I always...
Yeah, it's a challenge, up to $50,000.
Up to $50,000. So we teasingly say, if you want to just go ahead and give $50,000, that will be doubled. But combined, all the money that is given up until noon Central Time, will up to $50,000 will be doubled.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Ed.
I've been enjoying talking to our listeners. In fact, I'll be on at 1 o'clock Central Time if you all want to call and say hi and tell me that my joke that Ed did not understand was actually a good joke. Feel free to do that. I will be answering phones between 1 and 3, and I'd love to talk to y'all.
Which joke was that?
The one at the beginning.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
No, you didn't get it, so it probably wasn't a joke. But anyway. No, but I do really love speaking with you guys. It's just such an encouraging thing to hear from our listeners. Everyone that calls is unfailingly polite and grateful for what we do, which just makes me feel really privileged to be able to work here. I can't tell you how much I enjoy it and how important it is to me to do this.
Let me give the phone number again. And Steve, so you're going to be answering phones in a little bit here.
From 1 to 3 today, Central.
1 to 3 Central Time. Hey, please call and be as generous as you can. And we want to thank all those who called yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You've already made a pledge. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Who said that, Ed, in history?
That is Gomer Pyle.
Gomer Pyle, Ed. Way to go. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's the phone number to reach us here and give your gift if you haven't already. Or you want to make a second gift to AFR. Help us meet this $50,000 matching donation. Phone number to reach us here at American Family Radio is as follows, 877-616-2396. Again, 877-616-2396. Share-a-thon, day two. And we thank all of you who've already given a donation to help us here at AFR. Next story, Steve.
Let's talk about COVID. I know that you guys, we have really...
We can't get enough COVID time.
I know.
He gets so excited over here.
I do.
When you say the word COVID, you just see the body. His body just starts rattling over here.
It might be the fever chills.
Let's not start talking about my body. Quickly.
Rattling. Okay.
All right.
Duly noted, Ed. My apologies.
Back on story, Steve.
Well, we're proceeding down the path of getting everybody immunized. The president said that there is enough now out in the pipeline that every American should be able to get a dose or two of the vaccine as required, depending on which vaccine you get. But there are some states that are seeing a little bit of a rebound, and Michigan is one of those states that is seeing a little bit of a rebound. And
rebound of what?
Of COVID, in COVID cases. They're seeing
COVID increases?
Increases, an uptick in infection rates in Michigan.
A rebound sounds like a positive thing. You know what I'm saying? That's why I was trying to ask you.
Right.
But you're saying in this case it's a negative.
It's a negative. It's a uptick in infections. And the director of the Centers for Disease Control, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, was talking about that. And this is what she says we need to do in Michigan because of this.
We're talking about the imminent doom lady?
She is. You'll hear a lot of imminent doom from here right now. Cut five.
We know that if vaccines go in arms today, we will not see an effect of those vaccines, depending on the vaccine, for somewhere between 2 to 6 weeks. So when you have an acute situation, extraordinary number of cases like we have in Michigan, the answer is not necessarily to give vaccine. In fact, we know that the vaccine will have a delayed response. The answer to that is to really close things down, to go back to our basics, to go back to where we were last spring, last summer, and to shut things down, to flatten the curve.
That's okay. We just need a couple of weeks to flatten the curve. Don't worry.
I can't believe she said it so clearly, so blatant.
They need to come up with a euphemism for shut things down.
Where have we heard that before? We just need 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We promise. That's it.
Wow. She went on, but I thought it would be more effective just to end with her saying flatten the curve.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how much of an increase has there been in Michigan cases? Are we talking about a real – and this has been one of the states that has been shut down the longest with the most draconian measures possible.
Yeah.
How in the world are they having an uptick?
You're not supposed to point that out, Ed.
Yeah.
That was not politically correct.
Yeah. So this was the imminent doom lady that we were talking about a couple
imminent
few
doom
weeks
lady.
Ago?
You know, I think our country's really at a point where it really doesn't matter what the case numbers are. We're at a point where we need to do like we do with every other upper respiratory virus, and if you're sick, stay home, do these common sense measures without applying all these draconian rules to healthy people.
I'll tell you what they should do, because I hear that this really works. And that is all over your surfaces, use bleach and other kinds of sanitizers
because
that will kill the virus and stop it in its tracks. Oh, no, wait a second. No, that's old science.
No, CDC came back and said.
If we want to talk about the data, yesterday I was reading a CNBC story, and the headline was cases on the rise in 27 states, and it also got into the death rate too. Well, about at the end of the story, about four paragraphs down, it said, I'm summarizing here, it said, oh, by the way, Utah just added 1,400 deaths in one day from the past 12 months. They changed how they're measuring the data to align with the CDC. But that was affecting the statistics that the headline was built on.
Oh, my goodness.
But they waited until the end of the story to say, and oh, by the way, this is not apples and apples. This is apples and oranges.
Just so here's the numbers out of Michigan. They have found a total of right now there are 301 COVID cases coming out of schools, 141 out of manufacturing, 120 out of assisted living, 81 out of retail, 45 out of office settings, 44 out of restaurants and bars, and it goes down fewer and fewer.
What about golf?
Other, 18 out of other.
Okay.
That's the best thing. But
so those are new cases?
These are total cases that they're showing right now.
And
so,
that's causing this knee-jerk reaction?
Yes. Close it all down.
On the part of Walensky?
Oh, it's not a knee-jerk reaction, Ed. It's a well-thought-out, calculated, shut-down-the-world reaction here.
That, just hearing her say that, we need to go back to basics. We need to shut down. We need to shut things down. We need to flatten the curve. That just made me literally sick to my stomach.
I think Whitmer's up there going, what more do I have to do, lady? I've shut down everything for a year. What do you mean? You mean, huh?
Wow.
You mean shut down waves coming in off the Great Lakes? What else can I shut down?
I'm telling you.
And how she took a dig at the vaccine that the Biden campaign is currently, the Trump administration is currently on a campaign to push the vaccine.
Right.
And the CDC director is saying basically, the vaccine doesn't really matter. We just need to shut things down.
Well, 2 or 3 weeks. It won't be effective for 2 or 3 weeks.
Bend the curve. Oh, man.
Are we coming back?
We're coming back in a couple of minutes. We're going to bend this curve.
In honor of Brother Don and Linda Wildman, it's Founders Day on AFR.
I started here in 1984, and I have several best memories of Brother Don. One of them would be how he was so personable. He would know all about your family. He would ask questions about your children, want to know how your children are doing, and he was just very personable. Another memory I have is in the afternoons, Mr. Wildman would come around and tell everyone to make sure your calculators are off, the lights are off, adjust the heat and air. And because of that frugalness, we're still here today, and we owe no one. And that same frugalness is being carried out today with Tim Walker and all of our leadership.
Brother Don has been standing in the gap for families, and Linda has been standing behind him since the inception of this ministry more than 40 years ago. We praise the Lord for our founders' obedient service during Share-a-thon on AFR.
Hello, this is Ann from Michigan. I have worked for Leeds for 13 years. It's Leeds Personal Care. So I have been enlightened and tutored by AFR for about that long. I can remember right where I was on the highway when I came upon your channel. Difficulties that I was and have been going through in my life became more bearable because I was strengthened by what I heard on your show. I believe that AFR was a direct answer to my prayers for God's help. God's Spirit used and continues to use AFR in my life. Thank you so much. I love you.
God continues to provide for this ministry in the faithfulness of His saints during Share-a-thon. Call now at 877-616-2396 to give, or pledge online at AFR.net. It's Founders Day on American Family Radio.
It's Founders Day here on American Family Radio at Share-a-thon. We are passing the virtual offering plate these 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, because like anybody else, we have to have finances to pay our bills here at AFR. We have to pay for satellite time. We have to pay for towers, for electricity, for engineers, for property, for vans to travel to go to these places.
Salaries,
to keep our stations
insurance.
On there. What now?
Salaries, insurance.
The families of the staff who work here, they like to eat.
Yes.
So there's so much to pay for here to keep us, but primarily the vast majority of our funds that we raise help us stay on the radio, help us stay on the air, so that when you go out to your automobile or in your home, that we're there. We're there. And so we only talk about money for 3 days in the spring and 3 days in the fall. So, you know, find me another charity or ministry that spends less time than we do talking about our financial needs.
Yeah, and two things that people may not know is, one, we have about 130 staff members here on staff that deal with the radio network and a couple other facets of the ministry. So, people hear your shows throughout the day, they don't realize how many people work here.
Behind the scenes
at AFA and AFR. The second thing is that my grandfather started the ministry with the goal of not having debt. And we've been following that guideline and that rule and that goal ever since the beginning of the ministry here. So we operate debt-free. We have no debts. We pay all of our bills as they come in.
Right.
Our building is paid for. Actually, the new building, the new campus we're renovating across the street called the Don Wildman Center, is being paid for with cash. Yeah. So your donations are going to a good cause and being handled well.
We're very responsible with and have been. We've got a great rating with the Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability. Obviously, we've never been in trouble at all with the Internal Revenue Service. They come over here and audit us about every 3 years. And we always get a clean bill of health.
Right.
So,
we have an independent audit performed every year.
Right. And I drive a van, okay?
I thought you drove an Escalade.
No, I drive a van. So nobody looks at me when I'm driving out and goes, look, you seen what Wildman's driving? That's what we're paying for right there, that Rolls Royce.
And some people may, if they're looking now on either YouTube or Facebook,
right.
and they're looking at me, and they are wondering,
your wardrobe.
Well, my wardrobe, they're saying, Ed is dressed stylishly.
Right.
With that Hawaiian shirt he's got on. So right. I'd like to know if they use that money wisely.
Yeah.
Because
TJ Maxx. Ed's a TJ Maxx guy.
So
right there.
No, folks, I'm just teasing a little bit. I realize I am the picture of style and grace.
Two letters come to mind when I think of you, Ed.
Yeah.
You know what they are?
Two letters?
Yeah, G and Q.
Yes, there you go.
G and Q, that's what comes to mind.
Is this Trivia Friday?
We're having a lot of fun with this moment, but what Walker's saying is true. We do not operate in debt here, so you're never going to hear us come on and say, hey, the Lord told us to do this, and now the Lord's telling you to help us bail us out.
Yeah.
How many times have you heard that before? It's such a shameful thing to do when people say, God told me to buy this, and now I went into all this debt, and now he's telling me to tell you to help me pay this off.
Right.
I'm not saying people don't hear from the Lord, but they don't sometimes, and then they want to blame it on God.
Right.
So, if you want to help, so we buy everything with cash. If we and we don't, we what does the Bible say? Oh, no man, nothing except love.
For love.
Here's the phone number to help us. Stay this way. Here's the phone number, 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. All right, Steve, what's next?
Just if I could comment just real quickly on this. It seems, how long have we been doing share-a-thons like this? 30 years?
Since 1991.
Since 1991. So 91, 2000, so 30.
90, so 30 years.
30 years. Mm-hmm. For 30 years, we have been able to ask for money twice a year. And why? Because God is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And we have learned that God is faithful, and we don't have to wrangle it for. And, folks, I sit every day with Tim and Walker and the leadership of this ministry, and I do not sense one bit of nervous energy or doubt or doubt whether God is going to provide for this particular year. It's never happened. It just, we go on a long ministry, and God has been faithful every time.
Well, let me just throw one other thing in, since we are talking about this. And folks, it is our spring share-a-thon, and the number to call is 877-616-2396 for your pledge, 877-616-2396. I've always repeated something that Brother Don has said during Share-a-thon, and when I would talk to him personally about upcoming Share-a-thons, he would always say, we treat our listeners and our supporters like adults. We don't try to trick them or manipulate them. We tell them what our needs are, and we are open and honest with the fact that we need their support. We don't get big money from foundations, and we don't get money from the government. Wouldn't take it if they offered it. But we treat our listeners like adults because they know what it's like to pay bills. They know we've got to do that to stay on the air. So we encourage you here during our spring share-a-thon. We have the rest of today and then tomorrow, and that's it. We are asking you to be as generous as you can with your pledge, 877-616-2396. And I do want to remind you for the next 20 minutes or so, we are in the midst of a $50,000 challenge. Whatever money is given during the remainder of this two-hour block, up to $50,000, that amount will be doubled. So that challenge is ongoing till the top of the hour.
This breaking in the last half hour, Washington County Attorney, this is in Minnesota, in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, the Washington County Attorney has announced they will file second-degree manslaughter charges against Kimberly Potter, the officer who was at fault or who shot Dante Wright. And so it would be interesting to ask, and I will off the air go ask Abe whether this is an appropriate charge for the facts surrounding the case, but it looks like she is going to be charged, and the count is second-degree manslaughter. This just coming
out. Now, does that – what – is that with intent then? With intent to kill?
That'll depend
I don't
on
know
how
what second,
their,
I,
how their
I'm
laws.
Trying to interpret what second-degree means.
It depends on how their laws.
The state laws of Minnesota?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And
okay.
But it's not it's not premeditated.
Which
premeditated would be first degree.
It's not homicide or murder. It's manslaughter.
So, right. Okay.
Yeah, it's manslaughter. That's lesser, and that's the extent of my legal knowledge about
all right.
this.
It's probably some sort of a manslaughter charge with negligence or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The police officer there, if you just believe the videotape, which I don't think there's any reason not to, of the incident with the 20-year-old black fella, and the who resisted arrest. Again, I point that out. That needs to be taught to kids all over America, white, yellow, black, white, red, whatever. If a police officer pulls you over, you yes, sir, no, sir. If he says, step out of the car, give me your license, give me your registration, whatever. You comply. If you got a problem with how you're treated, then you can take that up with the judge, okay, the next day or whenever you're supposed to show up in court. And then nobody gets hurt, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But what happened, yet again, as Walker pointed out, in this case, we have a 20-year-old guy. He was wanted for armed robbery, right? The police found out he had a warrant out. Correct me if I'm wrong on the facts here. He had a warrant out for his arrest. And that's why they were handcuffing him. While they were handcuffing him, he jumped back in the car and started to drive away. That's when the lady police officer thought she was using her taser, but instead used her pistol. And in an instant, shot him. And then she yelled out, oh, blank. She used a curse word in her emotions. I've shot him. Which indicates that she realized she had made a grave mistake, a serious mistake. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. Should she get in trouble for that? Some sort of disciplinary action would be appropriate. I don't know if this is, and she's being charged. Is something she'll have to defend herself in court. But don't say that is a malicious act of racial discrimination, which is what the left is trying to charge right now. No, it's not. No, it's not, and no reasonable person can look at the facts of this case and say that's the truth. The gentleman who was the police officer who was handcuffing the young man was himself an African-American cop from what I saw, and that's who he was fighting with. That's who he was resisting and driving off. Do you know, so to if you want to fault the police officer and for making a mistake on the difference between a taser and a gun, I would like to hear her explanation for that. But to say, you know what, she decided I'm just going to pull out my gun and kill this 20-year-old black fella because I'm a racist. And I want the world to know it. And I'd like to see my life ended as right. we know it here. You know what I say? I want to see my family suffer, and I want to see riots. And so I'm just going to gun down this kid right here for no good reason.
I mean,
that's what they're suggesting.
It's on the body camera.
Yes.
She knows it.
Yes.
So I don't know why people think that they would, on camera, do something knowingly illegal.
Don't bear that narrative out either.
Right.
That we see. The video doesn't.
No. So, you know, if you want to criticize police officers, they make mistakes. Absolutely. And a lot of them are caught on camera.
And according to Steve, she is going to face charges.
Yes. She has to defend herself.
Even though it may have been an honest mistake, it was a mistake that cost someone his life.
Yes.
Right.
So that's fine. Let the justice system play out. But these race baiters who want to agitate everybody and make things worse, and as Charles Barkley said the other day, make white people hate black people and black people hate white people. Listen, we got enough problems in with sinful hearts and but we don't have to make stuff up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We don't have to. So this police officer did not shoot this guy because he was a black 20-year-old. She mistakenly got out her gun when she thought she's getting out her taser. And how was that started? It was started by the 20-year-old's decision to resist arrest.
And try to jump off.
And do you know how many people have been, I don't know, I didn't see the whole situation, but do you know how many people have been killed because somebody tries to run away? There could have been a police officer caught in between the door and the car.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So to suggest you just let the guy drive away because he doesn't want to be arrested, that's what these lefties are basically saying.
Right.
And so every child in America needs to be taught respect for the officers. If they pull you over, you do not resist arrest.
Right.
I think what happened in the case of this guy, this 20-year-old man who's dead now, sadly, is that he realized he was being arrested because there was a warrant out for his arrest for armed robbery, attempted armed robbery. Is that
right? Among other things, yes.
And having a gun, one on probation. And
so in that moment of time, just I'm trying to read his mind, he said to himself, I'm going to go to prison. Or, you know, I'm going to go to jail, and I don't want to go to jail. How do I get out of this situation? I think I'll run from the cops. And now that's 20-year-olds 1 year removed from teenagers. Teenagers don't have a great track record of thinking rationally in a moment like that. But that's what happened. He said to himself, I don't want to go to prison. I don't want to. So I ran from him last time.
Right.
And he got away with it, evidently, if you believe the accusation. So I didn't know till yesterday that he was wanted for armed robbery, attempted armed robbery.
Well, I think facts are coming out now.
Huh?
Facts, so, additional facts.
That's why he was running from the cops. And if they, I would appreciate the critics of the police, if you want to be a critic of the police, if you just tell the whole story.
Right.
Just say, okay, if somebody wants to say, I think the cops are at fault here because of, but I also want to acknowledge that this was a guy wanted for armed robbery and he resisted arrest. And bad things happen when you resist arrest. Just tell both sides of the story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. Go ahead, Steve.
I have in front of me the Minnesota's criminal code. This is section 609.205, and it's titled Manslaughter in the Second Degree. A person who causes the death of another by any of the following means is guilty of manslaughter in the second degree and may be sentenced to imprisonment for not more than 10 years or the payment of a fine of not more than $20,000 or both. Number one, by the person's culpable negligence, whereby the person creates an unreasonable risk and consciously takes chances of causing death or great bodily harm to another. And then there are three other things that have to do with hunting accidents or springing of traps, just things that are more arcane. But basically, this culpable negligence, whereby they're creating an unreasonable risk and consciously taking the chance of causing death.
See, this is going to be a problem for the case against this officer, Kim Potter, okay? Because she was, now maybe there was some panic, maybe there was confusion, and obviously her story is she pulled out her handgun, her handgun rather than the taser, okay? But the whole situation was created. All the confusion was created by Dante Wright's actions.
And she's saying, tase him, tase him, tase him, isn't she?
Yeah, well, she was in the video. Taser, taser, taser. She's warning the other officers not to be touching him when he gets tased because the charge will go through their body too. And then she realizes that she used. So what I'm saying is it's not an open and shut case that she'll be convicted either.
No.
I spoke to a police, a contact of mine who's into the policing and who's kind of helps me figure these things out. And he said that police are trained to carry their service revolver, their firearm, on their strong hand. So if you're right-handed, it'll be on your right hip, and their taser on their left hip or your weak arm, and that you're trained to do exactly what this person does when you pull out the taser. She said twice, "I'm going to tase you, I'm going to tase you," and then...
Oh, that's what she said?
That's what she said.
She's talking to Dante.
To Dante.
I'm going to tase you.
Right.
I got you.
I'm going to tase you, I'm going to tase you. And then right before she releases the taser, she cries, she shouts out, "Taser, taser, taser," which is what she's trained to do, they're trained to do. And then they're to fire the taser. Everybody clears out. The person gets shocked and falls on the ground, and you arrest them, and everything's...
How in the world you turn that clear video evidence into intent to... No, she was making the whole thing up. She intended to shoot him and kill him.
There are those that are saying such. And
who?
Well, the family of Dante Wright is saying that. And
saying what?
That this was not unintentional, that she's racist, and that she meant to kill him.
They're saying that?
That's what they're saying. Now, here's what my caveat to this is: when you lose a child, I'm not going to hold anything that you say against you in the first 24 hours or 48 hours.
Right.
If you're
very emotional,
emoting, you know, we mentioned this morning, maybe they shouldn't have been standing in front of microphones and having a press conference at that point, but I'm not going to tell the parent of a that's just lost a child that they should be restrained in whatever they say or however they feel.
Right.
So that's the caveat there. But there are people who are saying, this was a racist act.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Next story.
All right. I do have another story. Hey, so Twitter has been going on they're taking a page out of Facebook's playbook, and they are starting to censor people. Now, Jason Whitlock, you might remember him. He was on, I believe he was on ESPN as a sportscaster, but he has since kind of moved away from sports and is now doing more political commentary and such. But anyway, he tweeted out a kind of a story about Patrice Cullors, who is the founder of Black Lives Matter, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. She has been discovered to have bought 4 or 5 very expensive properties in Southern California in the millions of dollars.
Now, by the way, let me just ask you this, because I was a little confused about this. Did she buy them in her name or in the name of Black Lives Matter?
Her name.
Her name.
Yes, this was not a Black Lives Matter transaction. Black Lives Matter released a statement saying, listen, she has only taken X amount of dollars in the last 3 years from us, and it was somewhere around $40,000.
That we know of.
That they're admitting to. I don't know that I have any reason to doubt what they're saying, but she has not received anywhere near that kind of money from them. They are a 501c3, and they're compliant with all they say, the rules and regs. But she did buy these. So Jason Whitlock pointed out that she bought $1.4 million home in Topanga, Kansas. Topanga Canyon, which is a Los Angeles area that a lot of stars. And he pointed out, by the way, that only 1.4% of residents in Topanga in Topanga Canyon are black. So it's an overwhelmingly white neighborhood, to which he said she's among her people. Now Twitter says, "Oh, we're canceling you because you've just released personal information that she bought a house in Topanga Canyon." Come on. It was all over the place. Twitter is canceling Jason Whitlock because basically they don't like
Jason Whitlock is a conservative Christian black man, and they don't like that. And I don't know. I don't know him personally, but I've heard him talk, and that's what I gather from him. Or at least he's fair-minded.
Okay, so this is Twitter, right, Steve?
It is Twitter.
So Twitter is basically accusing Jason Whitlock of doxing the BLM co-founder.
Exactly.
Right.
Even though the public housing purchase information is publicly available.
It is.
For better or worse. But when people dox conservatives or Republicans,
right,
they get left up on Twitter. Because we've seen this before.
Right.
Remember in the past, we've seen where senators, where Tucker Carlson or Josh Hawley gets doxxed and BLM shows up at their house when their wife and toddler are home by themselves. And that gets left up. But if Jason Whitlock points out this, then it's doxxed.
Yeah, doxing.
The bottom line here, doxing is exposing somebody's home address.
Personal information.
Personal information. But the bottom line here is one of the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement is living the lifestyles of the rich and famous now. She's, huh?
Boy, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah.
Lifestyles of the Rich. So,
champagne, dreams, and caviar. What is it?
Right. So Marxism is good for everybody else, but she's liking she's liking the money, right? Basically.
Well, that's actually typical Marxist behavior. This in the Soviet Union, when it was still existing, when it's still in existence, the leaders of the Politburo all had what they called dakas.
Dakas,
dachas, which were nice homes on the Black Sea and in other, the Crimea.
Right.
Vacation homes because,
right.
All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
There you go.
From animal farm.
Yeah. So, Twitter.
Animal House.
Animal Farm.
Just to be clear.
Yes, the George Orwell novel.
Which work of art you're talking about here.
that's true, because there is a vast difference.
Yes, there is. Twitter says that they'll allow him to resume his account if he pulls that tweet out, and which he is calling posting bail.
All Twitter cares about is this man is making Black Lives Matter look bad because he's pointing out their hypocrisy, thus we need to censor him. That's basically
right.
Just we cut right to it. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. I want to tell you we have a hero in Congress. Nancy Pelosi was giving an interview to USA Today, and she was talking about the January 6th Capitol riots. And she said this. She said when asked what she would do if she had encountered these guys had gotten to her, because the word was that they were after her. Well, she said, I'm pretty tough. I'm a street fighter. They would have had a battle on their hands. And then she holds up her shoes with the stiletto heels and says, I would have had these. She would have stabbed them with her stiletto high heels. Yes, the 80-year-old kung fu master.
Well, that probably would have been enough because none of those people who went into the Capitol had any weapons.
They didn't. They would have been out-shooed.
It was the worst insurrection in the history of the world. Huh? You telling me you storm the Capitol
with what? With their water
to
bottles?
To have an insurrection and you don't bring any weapons?
That's what they did.
Well, they might have known what was waiting for them if they got to Nancy Pelosi's office.
What we have here is a failure to plan.
Yes,
I think
so. So she was she being funny? You think? But I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I think she was probably poking a little joke at that. I mean, obviously, her stiletto heels.
And the good thing is she doesn't have to really worry about her safety because she's probably one of the most guarded governmental officials outside of the executive branch.
And in fact, the reason that she couldn't confront these people is because she was whisked away by Secret Service
the
vice president.
But if you live in San Francisco or Chicago, you're on your own.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't own a gun either.
Unless you live in her neighborhood.
Right.
You remember
in San Francisco
a year or two ago that some activists, conservative activists, actually climbed the walls of her compound and started setting up tents.
That was a long day for me right
there. In her front yard.
I regret that. I knew it when I went over the fence.
That insurrection you had.
This is not going to look good for, AFR supporters to see me like this. But,
you knew about her stash of ice cream.
Well,
you just wanted,
that's what drew me there.
You wanted a taste of how the 1% lives.
Yes.
And she is the 1%.
Is she Nancy Pelosi?
I intended no ill will. I just wanted in that ice cream box.
Her and her husband are very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the 1%.
Mm-hmm. The very expensive freezer. No, they put up the tents. It was an immigration protest. They said, if you're going to let all these illegal immigrants in California, we're going to set up a tent city in your front lawn. See how you like that.
How did that go over?
Yeah.
They were arrested.
They were booted.
They were taken away. They weren't arrested, but they were excused from the property.
But it was a protest. I thought protests are allowed.
It was mostly peaceful, too.
And fences don't work.
Yes, that's true.
Wait.
Walls and fences don't work.
In this case, indeed.
Okay.
All right, before we go, can I give the information?
Please.
This is our Spring Charathon.
Yes.
Folks, we just got a minute and a half left here in terms of today's issues. Charathon will continue for the rest of today and tomorrow. That's it for our Spring Charathon. The number to call if you would like to give your pledge, and we ask you to be as generous as possible, is 877-616-2396. That number again, 877-616-2396. I can see that we do have some people in Charathon Central who are not taking calls, and we're sick of it, folks.
Yeah.
They're eating our food and drinking our pop.
Right.
Okay? And so we want to get them busy. Please call 877-616-2396.
Talk to you guys at 1 o'clock if you call.
Okay. Have a good day, everybody. Keep listening to AFO.